I've sincerely and conscientiously not only attempted to prove, but I have proven that you cannot base your faith upon the Bible. Did you get what I said here tonight? You cannot do it. You can't do it. And if you have any doubts about that, I'd hit the floor. I wouldn't be hypocritical about it. I'd get it out. And you'll not find anyone with the parapsychological, the extra-dimensional, the paranormal, the ESP, whatever you wish to call it, the precognitive, extraterrestrial, or paranormal. It makes no difference what you name it. Parapsychological, as I said, are the gifts of the Spirit. You'll find no one that has them developed on this continent to this intensity. And you've got a lot of things about knowledge that you've heard metaphysically about karma and reincarnation and so forth and so on. But how do you know it's true? You don't know a thing it's true, only what you've been told. Until something's proven empirically, epistemological concepts, whatever your conceptual ideas, they have to make a juxtaposition with reality someplace so that you know by empirical evidence that what you have said was reality is tested to be reality and proven to be reality. Now, if that was above some of your heads, I was throwing that out for a few out here that think that they are too intellectual for us. There are always a few that come in and think that they have a great deal of wisdom that they can somehow give we poor, struggling people here, polarized as we are in the lower end of the socioeconomic income picture. And they think that they can reach down to our drab existence and lift us up. Maybe we could take you out of your drab existence and free you. Something to consider. Yes, sir. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very honest opinion. How can you know what's truth in the Bible? It's not that simple, unless your judgment is based upon a very high evolutionary understanding. If you have a deep refinement in your superego, then you could trust your judgment of the Bible. First, it would have to be, this would be required. You would have to be socialistic to be able to trust the Bible. Well, I'll explain that. The only ethic by which we can lift mankind today is some form of socialism. There is a smattering of it in the New Testament. It's very evidently clear on the day of Pentecost that they that believed were together and had all things common. They brought their possessions to the apostles' feet, and the apostles departed and parted to every man as he had need, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Now, we've been told that this was a Marxist concoction, but it isn't. It's older than the Bible by far. It's a couple of thousand years, and then even more than that in its age. You can trust no judgment that is not based upon the highest ethic of socialism. Now, why I say the highest ethic? The dialectic of history proves, I think, unquestionably, that man is capable of perfection, that he does evolve and grow to a better and a more mature understanding. With 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry, with wars caused by the appearances of nations and colors and churches, we're fighting over flags, really not fighting over flags, we're really fighting to suit the whim and circumstance of the cartelists, the international bankers, and the great money mongrels. They make the wars, they decide what area of the world they want. So that's the General David Shoup said to the commander of the Marine Corps. He said that, and he put it in the Congressional Record by Senator Harkey. That's all right, keep standing if you wish. He said that the commander of the United States Marine Corps said that all of our effort in Vietnam had been for tungsten, tin, rubber, and oil. Right now, 60 oil companies are fighting over areas there, and that's the problem. America, 3% of the Americans own 60% of the world. I don't know whether you're familiar with that or not. Something like 200 families own 90% of the United States. And those same 200 families influence and dominate 67% of the world. They own, literally, 67% of the world. General Shoup, not Jim Jones, because I'm just a little old preacher, prophet, and what you say, what does a metaphysician have to do with such geopolitical matters? But General Shoup, General Ridgway, General Clark, General Gavin, Rear Admiral True, General Hugh Hester, that's just to name a few, have said the same thing, that we were never in Vietnam, for instance, for the people. We were there to preserve the fact that we were working people for 16 cents a day and getting cheap tungsten. That's the only reason any of you Americans here have anything today, is that your yellow brothers and black brothers have been napalmed to death so that they can be robbed of it over there, and they give you just enough to keep above the wolves, to keep above the wolves. And you think you've had it good, but you, if you're sick and have to go to the hospital, you're in trouble. I don't care if you're a middle-class person and own your business. If you have to go to an intensive ward of a hospital, that's why we're so thrilled that this atmosphere of the actual conscious presence of God, or socialism, has kept us free of death for 5 years. No one has died in our temple nuclear family in that length of time. But still, the reality's out there. And last week I had to say, by prophecy, the head of our buses, I stepped off of my pulpit, as always is my custom, and I told everyone to describe the scene that I saw before the buses came in, and they saved him. A bus fell on him, but no harm came to him. No harm. It rested on his shoulder, but a miracle feat happened, and nothing happened to him. That's just one service. That's Wednesday night. And we're glad for that consciousness, but we're still not going to be like ostriches in the head in the sand. We realize the significance of living in a real world. And it's a fact that any one of you can get ill, and if you go to an intensive ward, in fact, if you get to an intensive ward, you cannot even get on a dialysis machine, most of you, because you're too poor, the wrong color. People are giving up. They have to decide to die in this California by the hundreds and the thousands throughout the nation because they don't have enough money to pay for a dialysis machine. If you don't have that means of cleansing the kidneys by this special equipment that costs over $20,000+, and there's a line waiting on it, and then it's pull on who gets it. Still, most hospitals operate with the very important persons, because I've been an executive in a hospital, I know. If you, it's all done on the QT, but people come in, get the best service, more attention, all the special care based on how important they are in the capitalist structure. And I say capitalist structure. This is a society based on money. A society that your position is not determined by what the Constitution says, that it is your God-given right, that you are endowed with certain inalienable rights. You are endowed with no rights in this country unless you have money. Please, no clapping. We want to get the truth. Too important. In other words, if you go to, I've been just out last night, all night on a matter, where someone has been deprived of their constitutional rights to trial by jury, speedy trial, defense. Case after case that we rush into in our church where nobody else will go in to help them. And it's a fact that in the United States, no one's ever died that had $50,000 in an execution by gallows, gas chamber, or electric chair. If you have money, you can get good attorneys. If you have no money, you have no more freedom in a court than a goose does. You are fixed in the society by the money you have or the power that you've been able to get. You either have one or the other. Mr. Nixon started with very little money, but he sold out to the power structure. Now he has money. Strange enough, he's come up with a few $100,000. He didn't earn it, but he has it. His assets reveal it. And now, in fact, I said they've now said he's a millionaire. But he has married his will to the great money system, the magnets that control this country. And this is the only way you get anything, is to sell your soul out to the other fella, and then they'll sell you out too. Really, the only thing that keeps you, and there's no real keeping power in that, is money. Because even the rich, their young will fight over it, as we've seen in our nursing home. They'll come before they die, ready to devour them and fight over what little articles they have, even little memory books or some little article of clothing. So if the rich could only see it, there is no security in this system. But they have it as long as they're able to pay for enough people to watch them, watch out for them, but they're not happy. Howard Hughes, who is so afraid of germs that he has felt shoes, he won't walk over a floor. He's afraid he'll get sick and die, and he has to have all these officials around him, and he's always firing someone, hiring someone new. He's got a whole bunch of Mormons around him now because he thinks, I guess, the Mormons are more honest. I don't know what he'll do since that Mormon hijacked that plane all the way out here. So it's kind of changed the tarnished image of the Mormons, because that fellow pulled a pretty slick one until he went back to his own Mormon community and bailed out. And it's, I like to mention that because they're always mentioning any time a black does something, black man. Black man on a certain street did this. Black man run through a traffic light. So anytime now, until they stop telling everything black people do, every time I see a Catholic do something or a Mormon do something or a Mennonite do something, I'm going to tell it. People should not be judged by their race nor their religion. But every time a black person, every bit of news is slanted these days to make prejudice against brown and black and Indians. You'll see it. They won't mention that somebody's an Irishman if he holds up a bank. They won't mention somebody as an Irishman or a German if he, like over in the East Bay where he attacked that minister's wife and raped her. But if it's black, they always want to tell the absolute dimensions, how big he was, how broad shoulder he was, and all this. Now, surely the color, the complexion might have some meaning, but all the things they go into, no. So as I said, your ethics must be evolved to that point. If you are a socialist person, if you're a free thinker, if you hold no conclusions about anything you've not experienced. See, I've experienced the extra dimensional world, and still I'm pretty open about it. I'm not an atheist, but I behave as an atheist. I do good for good's sake, with no thought of compensation. And I've evolved to the point where I don't care a thing about getting rewards. That's why I don't even like people to clap for me. I don't want any ovations or singular recognition or collective recognition. I just want to see a better world. And if you've evolved to that point, you follow me, brother? If you've evolved to that point, then you are able to see the errors of the Bible and know the truths of the Bible. If you operate from a humanistic and a socialistic ethic, the socialistic ethic says, whether one likes to surrender all of his will or not, he must. When two out of three babies are going to bed hungry, that's a crime. When wars have been manufactured, as even our generals and the head of the Marine Corps says, has been done only for the profit of the few. See, this country is ruled by the few. This is not democracy. This is a plutocracy, or an oligarchic regime at best. A government by the few. You have a right to vote for the few that have the most money to buy the nomination of their particular office. The Kennedys bought the office. Rockefellers bought the governorship four times with $17.6 million. That's how much money he paid out to get the election of New York. Four times. You don't have any democracy here. A poor man hasn't got a Chinaman's chance. He hasn't got a snowball's chance in hell to get elected. Says Mr. McGovern's going to spend $3 million in California. And he's one of the better ones. I'd say of all the lesser evils, all of you, if you've got your right mind, will vote for McGovern at this particular juncture. I don't like to choose between the lesser of devils, our opportunities, our alternatives, but it's realistic. Certainly, it would have been better if we'd had Humpty Dumpty than what we've got in Tricky Dick. Humpty Dumpty wasn't so bad about civil rights. He wasn't so bad about the laboring class. It is not as desirable as we would like it, but it is a certain reality that we have got ourselves in a bad shape now. This Haiphong Russian roulette playing with the nuclear war, and you see, I'm horrified by it because I have given the date, the month, and the year where a nuclear war will take place. I want to be like Jonah of old. I want to be proven wrong. Jonah got mad when his prophecy went wrong. See, God showed him Nineveh was going to be destroyed, and then God decided not to, and Jonah got mad because he didn't get the prophecy carried out, supposedly. Jonah he wasn't happy that his own prophecy hadn't been carried out. I'll be happy if one of my prophecies fail. They haven't yet, but I'll be glad when one of them does. Certainly the iconoclastic prophecies, the negative prophecies. I'll be so thrilled if it fails. There were exactly 14 cycles, we shall say, to that prophecy. 11 of them have passed. 11 explicit, tangible things that would happen at certain dates, times, places, personalities that would come into vogue in the leadership that we're not in, that would be brought into power before that final date in which there would be a nuclear holocaust. 11 out of 14 down. I'm getting nervous. And Mr. Nixon makes me more nervous because he takes chances. He didn't give you've got to give everybody a way out. Face saving was important to the Soviets, but Khrushchev backed down at the Bay of, at the Cuban Missile Crisis. He backed down, and his military, it cost him his office less than a year later, or a year later, it cost him his office. Now, someplace, Mr. Nixon is going to have to realize that the Soviets are going to have to quit backing down, because they've got a face to save, too. But it's somehow in this, there's a bad illusion in this country. We've never had bombs strike us. And we thank God, I saw a great protest march with this McIntyre, this religious nut, and a whole host of them that were supporting Nixon's war. And it showed on CBS, said, big caption, "If God is for Mr. Nixon, why can't we be for him?" I thought, this is incredible, in 1972, that Americans would have placards like that. If God's on Mr. Nixon's side, why can't we be? But that's the attitude of Americans. God's on our side. And that's the biggest farce that ever happened. It caused the Jews to lose 7 million people. They thought God was with them, and it couldn't happen to them in Germany. And they were marshaled in like dogs, some of you that are sleeping down there. And they scratched on their marks are still on the ceilings where they were supposed to be taking showers, and they were gassed to death. Heads were cut off. Breasts were cut off. Eyes were put out. Hearts were transplanted. The hearts, while they would be living right there under local anesthesia, and see some of this stuff. 7 million Jews, supposedly God's chosen people, were wiped off the face of the earth. 9 million Jews, beg your pardon. 9 million Jews with that illusion, God is on our side. There's no such thing, my dear. You can get on the side of truth, but God never gets on your side. And truth is hard to come by, and if you get on the side of truth, it costs you something. It doesn't promise you that everything's going to go rosy. But if I could get back to that, and even though it is late, what is that clock right? Socialist consciousness means that you believe in these days that some form must of government must come whereby the means of production and distribution are owned by the people. That's what the New Testament spoke about. All the people holding things in common. The Indians had this. They didn't believe anybody could own the earth. We'd be better off if we had now. Look what industrialists have done with it. We have the worst smog. We have the worst coal tar. We have more carcinogens in American air than anybody has. The love of money is the root of all evil. It will destroy even the people that have it. They will corrupt their own streams. They'll destroy their own resources. 7 more years is all we've got. And nickel, some of the major minerals will be gone. 7 years. And the rich haven't got enough sense to even plan for it in their money grubbing. They're wiping out the resources. But the love of money is the most devilish concept I know of. There's nothing like it. It overrules. That's why I call capitalism the devil and socialism is God. And why do I say that? God is love. Isn't that what it says? God is love. Well, you can't have perfect love without having a society that will guarantee that someone won't get unloving and take over again and hold and grab and push others down. So there has to be a structure. That's a long time coming to. But it can happen. It's happened in people's temple. I don't worry about money. I can put all my money in anyone else's hands. We pass our money together in collective common. And we know that no one will betray us. And of the people that have grown with us these few years, we've never been disappointed. Man can evolve. Man can grow up till he can be trusted. That's what we're saying. The perfection of man. Christians say it, but they don't believe it. Marx said it. He said, man is capable of perfection. Christians say that you must be perfect like God is. Jesus said, be ye perfect even as I and the Heavenly Father are perfect. That's what he said. But when you start practicing perfection, the Christians say, it won't work. Say, you got to go to heaven to be perfect. And that's the biggest cop-out in the world. If you die a devil, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. If you've been a dollar-grubbing, miserly creep here, you'll be a creep, and you'd make a hell out of any heaven you went to. But the church tells you, you can't be good till you get to heaven. That's what they tell you. Anything they'll say, a brain squirm, those dreamer, dreamy-eyed socialists. Well, I'll tell you. We're going to have to dreamy eye together, or we're going to get blowed up together. We're going to live together or we're going to die together. And being that I made you somewhat uncertain about your heaven, you better get about doing what Jesus told you to do, build a heaven here. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. He said, the word is nigh you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Here's where heaven's going to have to be made. We'll make a heaven out of this place or it'll be a hell. And if we don't make a heaven out of this place, nobody in the universe is going to trust us to go to another planet or another heaven, whichever you choose. When we've made such a mess of this and we won't get our minds concerned about political government, we say, oh, church shouldn't have anything to do with government. Oh, yes, it should. The government is upon his shoulders. We have to get involved with politics. It's your duty. And no planet's going, no heaven's going to take a bunch of people that were too creepy, that they were so lousy they wouldn't do anything to make this a better world. Now you better see this. You see, we're asleep. They feed us wrong. They give us preservatives. The worst kind of foods end up in the cheapest supermarkets. Still a practice. You in the black section, you get foods that came from the middle class white neighborhoods that's a week old. That's why some of you sleep here. You got a bad diet. You've been given poison gradually every day. You can't stay awake to hear somebody when he's telling you the truth. And tomorrow you go, they've got us, oh God, they've got us so screwed up. You can't get a handful out except to a healing meeting. And then you can't keep them unless you keep it healing. Usually all my services are healing. That's why we got a big crowd. But either in our black community, we got to have a song fest. Get the dirtiest tramps, the biggest whoremongers and whores in town. But as long as they can sing, we'll come. Come on now, you know it's true. We'll get on a music, we're on a music binge. It's just beautiful. They've got us, they've made an image of us, and we have let our dumb selves fall into their image. Said, nobody can sing like black folks. And we try to prove they're right. I said, we try to prove they're right. The fact is, when these folks sing, some of my white singers sing just like what they call black folks singing. There's no such thing as white folks singing and black folks singing. And I'll tell you what, right now, when they've got concentration camps planned and they're already mapped out and Title II of the McCarran Act is still in, not been revoked, and it's only an emergency order away anyway. El Reno, Nevada has them. In Allentown, Pennsylvania, several places throughout the nation, even up here in Tule Lake. My God. Concentration camps I'm talking about. All they need is a stroke of the pen. 24 hours. So it can't happen here. You must not know the Japanese. 24 hours, every Japanese. I've got one of the government friend, this Soyaki. It's in a government post now. His mother died in a concentration camp without as much as an aspirin for 6 months with cancer. A doctor never came near her in 1943. Don't you tell me, you silly people, that it can't happen to us. The Japanese owned a great section of California, but their money wasn't even good enough for them. You and I, all we don't have anything. Preachers got it all. All we've got for our money, they've got some great big church. They've robbed us blind. We've made some Uncle Tom rich. We built fine churches and our homes are, we don't own anything. We owe our soul to the company store trying to keep up with Whitey. We have the biggest color TV, biggest Cadillac. We think that's going to make us free. That makes us more in prison. That's why I don't own a car. I don't own any new furniture. I never buy any new clothes. I have never bought a new pair of shoes in my life. And that's why I am free, because I don't have to have anything. That's why I can speak my peace, because I don't owe any bills. I'm not afraid of losing my job, because I know I can go home and eat some greens on our church property. I'm free. You're not free with your Cadillac. You're doing just exactly what the man wants you to do. Buy his goods so you'll never have any real economic freedom. He wants you to buy everything he advertises on TV so he'll keep you perpetually owing your soul to the company store. You're not free. You're a slave. I saw some silly woman in the Sun Reporter this last week had 4 pages to celebrate her birthday. And I looked at her, a victim of malnutrition. I don't know what her name was, some name. Showed her with all these, she'd got a few white folks she'd bribed in with pictures, I guess. Did you see what I'm talking about in the Sun Reporter? There was 4 pages. This black woman, and she was suffering from malnutrition. I could tell it because as a prophet, I could look at her body. It was quite evident she was obese. She was terribly heavy, and she was wasting her money trying to show somebody she was something. When you could look at the pictures, those white people looking at her, they really didn't want to take a picture with her. They didn't want to be caught in a picture with her, but she had them come in like she was somebody, and she was the biggest fool that ever walked on the face of the earth. Last week's Sun Reporter, you saw it. If you saw this fat woman sitting there like she was a great free woman, and she was a dumb slave. Come promulgating up in our furs and our clothes, and we fill our churches. We think we all lived on Madison Avenue till we come home at night to the same stinking old neighborhood. Now we're going to have to cure that, because the Japanese had power. They didn't have quite as many numbers, but they had some money. And if we had the money with the numbers we have, if we had the economic power with the numbers we have, they'd not do as much to us. But we have thrown our money down rat holes for churches, for cars, for clothes. And I'm going to tell you one thing, darling. That's a bad, trite phrase of mine. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say this. You are the same, you and me are the same nigger. To the white man, we're the same nigger. Whether we've got on fine clothes, our old robe, they don't think any more of us. They don't want any more to do with us. Whether we got on good clothes or old clothes, we are still niggers. You know we're all niggers in here. They don't pay any attention to you. They just laugh up their sleeve. That's the white man's joke. Look at those fool Negroes. Look at those fool blacks and Indians. Look at those are my people. I'm talking about me when I say nigger. I know I'm a nigger. Some of you don't have enough good sense to know you're a nigger, but I know I'm one. That's the commonest joke of the whites. Say, look at them walking down the Cadillac. They don't worry about you until you get some of the power, the money, some of the property, some of the businesses. Then they get worried.